This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELEAV, that is promo code BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger at Thunder Chats. We are part of the BLEAV Network. This podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. We are still in the heart of draft season. It is getting closer every single day. We're excited. We've had some great guests on here, and it is going to continue. But first, I got to get to my co-host, who hasn't got to be on one of these draft podcasts. And I think since, like, I think it was Tyler Rucker you was on with me, Alex. But, yeah, without further ado, without burying the lead, he is at Wayne Mann, or Batman himself, Alex Roy. What up, Alex?
What up, man? I'm good, man. It's that season to where, like, rumors are abound. You know, we have cap space. We have draft picks. You know, not draft picks in this draft. We just have one. But we have future draft picks that we can use as collateral. And so, you know, the rumor mill is churning heavily. So, it's a fun time to be a Thunder fan. Finals are still going on. Mavericks actually survived. So we get a little bit more basketball. So exciting, man. Exciting times.
Yep, for sure, man. And it is smokescreen season is in full effect. There's rumors abound for every team, especially the Thunder here recently, which has kind of been interesting. But we're going to talk about that and the NBA draft when we get to our guests here. And without further ado, let's go. Joining us today, he is a graduate at Oklahoma State University. He has amassed over 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. He's a scouting savant, the dominator of the draft, the paramount of prospect evaluation. He's a friend of the pod. He's king of NBA draft YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the pod, Keandre Ashley of Hoop Intellect.
I appreciate it. I always love the intro. You do a great job with those every year.
Appreciate it, man. Got to bring the thunder. You know, we bring fire guests on, so it's the least I can do to give a fire intro to get your blood going for this podcast. But Keandre, like, I think you were the forerunner of our draft content whenever Alex and Jerry had you on. I think back in 2020, you were the first, like, draft guy we had on. So, you know, we've had you on every year. I'm glad we were able to keep the cycle going, and excited to talk to you about this draft, man.
I think that was like one of the first podcasts that I did I got invited to be a guest on. I think it might have been the second one that I ever did. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
I was scouting, man. My scouting department was heavy enforced during that year, man.
Did a decent job, I think.
Absolutely. And I mean, hey, you've continued to go up, man. Like, I've kind of kept my intros. I think whenever I first made an intro for you, I think that was 2021. You had like 18,000 subscribers on YouTube. So like you've shot up like crazy. So it's been awesome to see your growth, and excited to have you on here, man. Let's talk NBA draft, man, because, you know, the narrative around the media is that this is a bad draft. And I just want to kind of hear your take. I've asked, you know, a few guests this as well. Do you believe that this is a bad draft?
I don't. I don't think that it's a bad draft. I think that it's a different draft. I think it's different than a lot of the recent classes in the sense that we don't necessarily have the sort of stars or clear stars that we see in the NBA right now currently in terms of having the combination of size, skill and playmaking and athleticism towards the top. Those guys just aren't necessarily there or as clear as past years where you've got Apollo Banchero, even a Chet Holmgren being able to do what he's able to do. You've got guys like Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, obviously Wimby, and even like a Brandon Miller. There's not necessarily somebody who had that sort of long college season we saw that can shoot it at that size and everything. So I think it's different than past years, but at the same time, I do think there are a lot of guys who are obvious contributors, people who are going to get into good situations and be able to make a name. And also just playing the numbers game, there are going to be all-stars from this class. There's going to be multiple time, you know, high impact players. So to, especially in 2024, to compare it to like a 2000 draft or, you know, drafts that long ago, or even like a 2013, you've still got Giannis. You've still got
Gobert. You know,
guys like CJ McCollum and Rudy Gobert. And even like Victor Oladipo, who went second. Like, he turned out to be a really good player at his best. You know, obviously he got hurt, but like, at, if his career would have went a different direction, you know, that's a great pick at number two. Mm-hmm. So I think those guys, we just got to allow them to have the opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, most definitely, man. We've heard that this is not a superstar draft, but I mean, you go back to 2015, it wasn't a superstar draft at the top. But if you find that player, if your scouting department finds that player, if you have the perfect petri dish for that player to develop, he could develop into Giannis. He could develop into a four-time defensive player of the year like Rudy Gobert. So, you know, you never know. Like, you know, you hear about Sarr in this draft. Sarr has those tools. He maybe doesn't have the tools to be necessarily, you know, just like Rudy Gobert, but in this new NBA, you know, those big, huge, you know, big men like that don't necessarily do the defensive things that like more like the 6'11", 7-foot guys that can guard in the perimeter and do all that like Alex Sarr does. So maybe in this newer NBA, Alex Sarr becomes that Rudy Gobert type, you know, archetype that, you know, that wins defensive players of the years and isn't necessarily great on offense, but is serviceable on offense.
Yeah. And I think to add to that point, like you take a year like 2015 or is that 2016, where that's Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram and Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown was considered a big reach at the time. If people remember, I was in high school at the time, so I wasn't following the draft as much as I do now, but at the time, Jaylen Brown was not seen as potential finals MVP, somebody that you could potentially build around or be the best player on a team like that. So I think it's all about getting guys into the right situations, development. In hindsight, when you look back at drafts, is always going to be a lot different than what it was at the time. So, again, I actually even say, like, going into 2020, that was considered a weak draft. We've seen what those guys have done early in their careers, and 2021 was considered this can't miss draft. I was even a guy who liked that draft a lot more. And if we look, 2022 has been a little bit better than even 2021, and 2020 has obviously exceeded expectations. So it's always gonna be an opportunity for them to succeed. It's just looks a little bit different than maybe it has in previous years in terms of hype or consensus.
Yeah, and something that I got in a conversation with somebody on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, actually, and whenever I was telling him, like, you know, same thing, like, I don't think it's a bad class either. I think it's a flat class. You know, obviously, like you said, there's going to be some guys that pop that, you know, become all-stars and, like, you know, kind of exceed their expectations. But I think that this class is flush with role players, guys that can come in and, you know, like make an immediate impact on playoff teams. Because not only are there guys that, you know, have like, you know, immediately translatable skills, but there's also like a lot of upperclassmen that, you know, have a lot of experience. They're a little bit older and, you know, they're ready to be plugged and played into an NBA system. So I, you know, the more that we dive into this class, the more I get excited about it. You know, people are talking about trading out of it. Like one of our co-hosts, Maddie Mull's like, I'll be sad if we pick 12. And like, I kind of went into it thinking that, but you know, the more we dive into it, like I said, like I'm excited. I think there's a lot of value in this draft. You just gotta, you know, you have to have a good scouting department to go out there and find it. And, you know, being a Thunder fan, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, for the Thunder specifically, like they obviously have a lot of different options and directions that they can go in terms of like making that pick, but always having the way that they've drafted, if you can get another person who can be high impact, and it doesn't even need to be J-Dub level, obviously, you're probably not going to be able to get that as cleanly in this draft, but somebody who on a rookie contract is able to make that kind of contribution, especially in the new CBA rules, that's going to propel them to be able to contend for even longer than it looks like they'll be able to in the future, which is obviously going to be a pretty long time if things go correctly.
Yeah, like, you know, just like you said, as this team gets more and more expensive, as we move on and you know, like the J-Dubs and the Chets get their extensions, like you're going to need these players that are making $7, $8, $9 million on rookie scale contracts to continue putting bodies out on the floor, you know, to help supplement those three players, those core players. And so, you know, for everybody that wants to be like, oh, let's get out of this draft, let's, you know, you're going to need this player 2 to 3 years from now to be serviceable, to be on the floor, to be a rotation piece, and to still be on a $6, $7, $8 million contract in order to help facilitate this team moving forward and keep that flexibility. Even though it's going to be a tough flexibility type thing, it won't be like the last iteration of the Thunder where we had zero flexibility because, you know, the CBA rules worked against us. You know, the money got tight and we didn't have too many avenues to get better. Using these draft picks, we still have avenues to get better. We still have avenues to trade, to make assets. And so, you know, you need to make these draft picks. You can't just, you know, say, no, we don't want this draft pick this year because it's a weak draft. You know, use your scouting department.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I kind of want to ask you, Keandre, because you kind of alluded to it. You know, the Thunder have a few different ways they can go about taking this pick. Obviously, you know, we got eliminated in the second round to a team who is now playing in NBA Finals. And, you know, we was the youngest number one seed. And, you know, this was very much like a house money kind of year. Like, you know, obviously, like, it was awesome. And once we got there, we wanted to win. But, like, nobody had these expectations going into the season. So I want to ask you, as like, you know, kind of an outside perspective, watching the Thunder in the playoffs, what is the big thing that you think the Thunder need to address in this draft?
Yeah, so I think just like, it doesn't necessarily need to come from the draft, but obviously you want to find some sort of solution, continuing to add versatility in the front court and being able to obviously however that looks like. It doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, you got to get Donovan Clingan or Zach Edey and move Chet to the four. I don't necessarily think that's the solution for the team, but being able to find guys, find guys who can help provide versatility and be able to finish possessions and add a little bit more size, physicality, and also somebody who doesn't, you know, throw off what they already bring to the table in terms of guys who can shoot, make plays, non-liabilities, guys that you can target in significant ways. I think that's the blueprint for them going forward. And I would be surprised if whoever they pick doesn't match that in some way, or at least has the longer term blueprint to match that. So yeah, just continuing to add to that. And then obviously whether that does mean Isaiah Hartenstein or Nick Claxton or whoever else comes in and contributes in some way, or if that means, you know, you pick a Kyle Filipowski or whoever, I think that's something they'll look to address in some fashion.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because that's something that we've kind of hammered home as well. Like anytime, you know, you were like, oh, the so-and-so has the so-and-so so site has the Thunder mocked taking Rob Dillingham or Bob Carrington or like, you know, a guard or something like that. And it's like, oh, what do you think about this? Like Thunder fans just flood the mentions like, he's not a big. We need a center. We need a four. We need this. It's like, dude, we have so many other avenues that we can address that. Like if a guy like for instance, if Rob Dillingham falls to 12, like I'm just like buying the talent and like taking him and, you know, kind of figuring out the fit later. And then I have other ways to go address that big position. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I think that, you know, obviously we need to address some physicality. We need to address, you know, some rebounding issues as well, but it has to kind of like go in the blueprint of how the team is built. And I was going to ask you that. So I'm very glad you addressed it. Like we are very much in the camp that Chet is the five. He needs to remain the five. Like for all intents and purposes, that was his first year. And he was putting up like historic, like rookie numbers defensively, and he's only going to get better. So, you know, we're right there with you on that. Let's get into the draft, man. So I'm going to kind of take it back. I haven't done this except for like our first couple guests, but before we get into like what the Thunder take, I want to just kind of hear from your board. You know, we have picked 12. So let's just say lottery. Could you just rifle off your top 14 for us?
Yeah, so the top 14 is – I got Alex Saar at number one. We go Ron Hollins, Rob Dillingham, Donovan Clingan, Zachary Risacher, Reed Shepard, Stephon Castle, Nikola Topic, Matis Wuzelis, Dalton Connect, Isaiah Collier, Devin Carter, Cody Williams, and Kelo Ware. So that's the top 14. Obviously, there's guys in that kind of general range that are – that might end up in there and in the final board, just based off of like preference and kind of a draft philosophy. Obviously, it's different for every team. So, but that's the lottery that was on the most recent board, I think.
Okay, I like it. How much has your lottery changed like over the year with this draft class?
Man, I think this is probably the most it's changed, maybe since 2021 maybe, or whatever Max Christie's class was. That changed a lot, at least the first round. But this year I had Tyrese Proctor in there this preseason. Riley Kugel might have been in there. Who else are we talking about?
Justin Edwards.
Justin Edwards, Garway Duwall. So a lot has definitely changed this year. But there's still been some of the same guys in like Saar and Reed Shepard kind of came out of nowhere in some respects too. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch, you know, like the kind of differentiating. It's wild, you know, thinking about all the names that were like in people's lottery starting the season. And they've just not even like just like kind of fallen towards the back of the lottery or like just out of the lottery. Like they just tumble like second round, like not even draftable in some cases. So it's wild, man. But kind of, you know, addressing your big board. Before we get into Thunder, I just want to hear, because everybody that we brought up kind of has concerns about Ron Holland. I wanted to, you know, obviously you have number two on your board right now. So I would love to hear kind of like your sales pitch for Ron Holland as a prospect and, you know, how you think his fit would translate for the Thunder.
Yeah. So with Ron Holland, there are obvious concerns, and you just look statistically, he did not have a great season in that fashion. Didn't shoot it well from three. You know, obviously had some struggles off the dribble, shot in the mid 20s from two and three in that respect as well. But for him, I think the obvious pitch is you get a guy who is one of the best athletes in the class, clear wing size, in a modern NBA, somebody who I believe to be the best slasher, able to get to the basket, and did that at the G League level already. And we can have conversations about what the G League is at this point. But when you're doing it against pros and guys who were just all conference and making plays in the tournament, that does mean something to me. And it is a step above of college in terms of competition. But somebody who does that, has one of the best motors in the class, able to defend a couple positions defensively. Eventually, now he's going to have to clean some things up there, but I buy him there long term. Made a lot of plays in that way in spite of that. And just generally his improvement from years past to now is something that I would buy as well. Somebody who used to be clearly a power forward in the high school game, stretched his game out, started to add certain things to his handle. I think I buy his rate of improvement a little more than some other guys as well. So I don't necessarily think that it's something that's like I just don't see the concerns that are there or the ways that it couldn't pan out. But I just like him and would rather bet on him and his playmaking and ability mm-hmm. to make things happen and eventually shoot it than some of the other guys who have more concerns athletically, physically, and maybe just only shoot it or have a easier path to contribution, but maybe don't have the sort of upside that he does. And I think most importantly, a lot of people like to talk about his turnovers and assist to turnover ratio is a big thing people love to bring up. I actually think that he was a little bit better playmaker than people give him credit this year. So that's just kind of how I see it. And I would, value him, higher than the consensus now, which is more like late lottery and actually in the Thunder's range at this point. So, I mean, if he is there, he is available at pick 12. I would definitely consider him if you're the Thunder. You get the opportunity to draft, if it was just me, one mm-hmm. of the best players available for my board, and bring in another wing who obviously will need to take some strides shooting wise to fully be able to contribute, but brings energy, defends, somebody who I think can make a play, get out in transition. I think he would fit well with this group, and certain other guys would be able to kind of mask some things that he doesn't do great, in the short term.
How much do you think like the G League Ignite team actually added to those concerns when with not just Ron Holland, but also Tyler Smith with Modest Bousalis, like, playing on that team that was a little bit discombobulated. Do you think teams take that into account whenever they're looking at a prospect?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things to take away from him too, is he was thrust into being by all means their primary initiator. He's the guy who made things go for them. And when that's your guy in a professional setting, it's not going to go very well. I mean, as I said before, like that's just not what he ever did before. He played with Anthony Black for several years in high school. He's finishing plays and not, making it uneven in the UIBL. So I think getting him into a role that's a little bit more fitting for his play style and what he does best will, alleviate some of those concerns and assist the turnover ratio. Like if you stick some of these college guys who people have ranked higher or even, some international prospects who play on teams that are a little bit more competitive or their league as a whole is more competitive, and you have them be primary initiators, it's not going to go – like if you put Zachary Risacher in that same position, in my opinion, I don't think it's going to go as well for him either. So, mm-hmm. I think that had a lot to do with things and put some other guys in some precarious situations. I think Tyler Smith specifically, I think he probably benefited most because he kind of got to play his game off mm-hmm. of those other guys. But, even like a not having a guard on the level of a Jared Jack or even like a Pooh Jetter being able to be there and kind of set the table at that level did definitely hurt them.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, in terms of the Thunder, if Ron Holland did end up on the team, we got plenty of table setters, so he would definitely be able to slide like into a more comfortable role. But let's kind of talk about the Thunder, man. I want to bring up Ron Holland, because like I said, like we haven't had a lot of people that are high on him. So like I was excited to hear that take. And I think everything that you're saying makes a lot of sense. But same with the Thunder at pick 12, just a couple of names that you kind of like in that range for the Thunder that you think would fit good.
Yeah, so that's the big thing with the Thunder is because you don't necessarily – one, this draft is just so all over the place. You can mm-hmm. see everybody going in that, like, lottery range going a lot of different spots. Outside of, like, maybe obviously Sarr, Klingon seems like he's going to go top 3-4. Mm-hmm. Reza Shea the same. But outside of that, I would probably go with for wing, I would probably go with Dalton Knecht. I like Dalton Knecht. Yeah. I know some people are a little bit lower on him, but I think that what he brings to the table, one as a shooter, I think that he would add some not needed shooting for the Thunder, but just another guy who can space the floor at a high level, do it off of movement, has decent size, at 6'5", 6'6", and, you know, obviously having Chet on the back end and being able to be in that situation and be focused a little bit more in on the defensive end of the floor than he had to be at Tennessee. I think that he could be somebody who could come in and contribute early on and, you know, have an immediate role on this team. I think another guy that I would be interested in is maybe a Deron Holmes for the Thunder. Now, he's another guy who I think maybe could end up being like a trade back candidate. Now, there's been a lot of rumors about him getting a promise from the Thunder, or, you know, who knows what's really going on with all those types of things. But I think what he brings to the table is something that I would like as a big who is able to, he's a little bit of a tweener in some ways, but next to a guy like Chet in that four or five, as long as you buy the shot, and I think that he is going to be able to shoot it in the NBA, somebody who can finish plays. You know, he's at least mobile. He has some things to clean up in terms of being able to defend on the perimeter and, you know, defend against bigger bigs in the NBA, but somewhat versatile in some ways on that end, being able to put the ball on the floor, attack closeouts. I think that he would add a lot. You get a little bit more size and just somebody who you can give a different look to teams and an added rim protection, whether if Chet is your anchor and he's, you know, roaming. Another different look. I think that he's somebody who I would be interested in as well. And then you've got some other guys in that same general range. I would probably go with, in terms of like a swing pick, you know, Tijon Salon. I don't hate the idea of having him if you're just trying to like swing for the fences. Mm-hmm. Let's take it down the line and see where this goes. As somebody who just is a good athlete, he didn't test well, but I still think, you know, on tape, I buy him like functionally in that way. Yeah, functionally on the court. Somebody who has flashes in terms of shot making and being able to cut and finish plays. And then defensively, he is all over the place. But there are moments where you can see him being able to make plays and, you know, come over help side, block a shot, and at least move well enough to be versatile down the line. So I think that would be another guy who they would at least kick the tires on. Again, if I was in that position, I'd probably wait and see. Like if he, I mean, depending on who you ask, his stock is, you know, even higher than that, than 12. But, you know, could be somebody that they're at least interested in that way.
Let me ask you this before we move on from like Deron Holmes. What is the difference between Deron Holmes and Jalen Williams, J. Will?
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference between those two for me would be the shot. I buy Deron Holmes being able to shoot it a little bit more and easier in the NBA. J. Will in college didn't really shoot it too much, and has been a little bit more of a work in progress in the NBA. So from that perspective, and then just like ball skills offensively, being able to, you know, really attack a closeout, really score from the interior in a couple of different ways and be more of a shot blocker instead of a charge taker. I think that's where some of those biggest differences are. The issue would probably be in terms of like a backup big is like, if he's playing your five, you know, you still might have some of the same issues in terms of like size and just being able to handle it in that way. But other than that, I think they're quite a bit different.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. Holmes is the guy that, you know, we've kind of gravitated to. Feels like collectively as a pod, I know me and Conor are really high on him. I think Alex said that he's one of his favorite guys, like realistically, that the Thunder could grab. I do want to ask, like, kind of in the same vein of Holmes as the guy that, you know, you was higher on. I don't think you had Holmes in your top 14, but you had another guy that plays the same position, kind of does a little bit of the same stuff that Holmes does, in Khalil Ware. How would you feel about him on the Thunder?
Yeah, I think Ware is more pure five in the NBA. Now, he, you know, has the potential to shoot it as well, but obviously with Chet being there, I think I would rather go with somebody who has a little bit more versatility and able to play in those same lineups together. Ware is a little bit more able to screen and roll, be able to handle certain things in the post, and obviously block shots, finish plays, do things of that nature. But I think for the Thunder, I'd probably, unless you just, and this would come like internal, we're like, okay, we're confident in Chet's ability to like expand offensively and just be able to beat, you know, wings and in fours consistently and it not be as much of a detriment to his offense. But outside of that, I would probably go a different direction.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Kind of. What's the word I'm looking for? Not transitioning. I guess just swaying out of this because, you know, you said Holmes, you said Salon, and you said Connect. Obviously, Connect kind of more of a wing, but Salon, even though he's a wing, he's a bigger guy. And then Holmes, you know, he's kind of like that tweener. There's some interesting guards kind of in that lottery range. And I know a lot of people are like, the Thunder don't need any more guards. But something that I've been saying a lot is, something that I learned from the playoffs that wasn't, you know, just what everybody's saying about like, oh, we need rebounding, we need physicality, we need time, we need experience. Something I've noticed is that our offense stagnated whenever Shea went off the floor. And, you know, especially late in games, you know, whenever we needed a bucket, we couldn't find somebody to go get that bucket that we needed, you know, while Shea was either, you know, getting double or triple teamed or while he was on the bench taking a breather. And so I think that there's value in getting a guard in this draft. As I mentioned, Rob Dillingham is a guy that I think Bleacher Report mocked earlier this week, falling to the Thunder at pick 12. I know his stock's kind of been all over the place. He wasn't able to test athletically at the combine. I think that he did that today or yesterday because he got the green room invite. But, you know, there's rumors that he's trying to posture himself to San Antonio. That's apparent. That's what Gavoni was saying today. If he was to be there at pick 12, what do you think about Rob on the Thunder? You know, I think you said that you had him third on your board.
Yeah, I think at that point I would just take him because, like, you take the offensive talent, and like you kind of said earlier, just being able to add a different look to the team. Obviously, you would rather that be a bigger player or, you know, be somebody who's a little bit better defensively, and given Presti's background, he probably doesn't rate Rob very highly, I would assume. But, you know, somebody who is as dynamic off the dribble as him, somebody who is as effective off the ball, I think that's one of the more underrated parts of his game, being able to, you know, shoot on the move, be able to move off the ball, you know, stampede actions, being able to attack in that way. I think that's something that he does really well. And in a situation like this, could play off of, you know, some of those bigger creators like a J-Dub or Shea or, you know, whoever else is out there on the team. So I would definitely explore the opportunity if he was there. I also think if we're looking for that specifically, Bub Carrington is another guy who obviously has a little bit more size, not necessarily as dynamic and able to get to the rim or create – put pressure on the defense in the same way that Rob is, but in terms of just being able to shoot and score from the perimeter, create a shot for himself or at least a jumper, he has that. And I also, obviously, you buy the defense at least being solid.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the NBA, eventually. So I think that he's somebody who they'll at least kick the tires on because he checks a lot of boxes. Even if it wasn't necessarily the most consistent freshman season, he had, you know, a lot of lows in the middle of there. But I think he's super young too. So I think that he's somebody who they'll be at least for that specific purpose will be interested in.
Yeah, Bub's definitely a guy that I've kind of gravitated towards throughout this whole draft process because I feel like he satisfies both masters for the Thunder, you know, the idea that you can have somebody come in and, you know, kind of be a bucket getter off the bench, that, you know, you can plug and play and, you know, let him get run while he develops because he is 18. Like, he has a lot of tools. He has a lot of upside. But, you know, while he's playing, he can still develop and polish as a player. And if it's not working out this year, it's cool. Like, you know, we can send him to the G League for a year, like put him on a slow cooker. Yeah. We're still basically running back a team that was the one seed as the youngest team in NBA history, or youngest one seed in NBA history. So Bub's definitely a guy that, you know, I've definitely gravitated towards. The plus 4-inch wingspan right up Presti's alley. Do you think, I know you mentioned a lot about his scoring capabilities. It looks like he's got some playmaking chops as well. Do you buy his playmaking, like, you know, long term?
Yeah, I think he's solid. I don't know if he's necessarily going to end up being obviously, if he was on the Thunder, it'd be a little bit more committee-based anyways, but mm-hmm. like a long-term point guard or primary initiator. But I thought that he was pretty impressive in that respect, especially in the pick and roll, just being able to make certain skip passes, have, you know, solid feel and in command of where the defense is at and how to read things. So I think that he checks boxes there as well. And I would definitely be confident in his ability to make plays in multiple ways. Definitely not just be like a score only player in the league at all.
Right. For sure. Kind of staying out of the vein, do you have any other guards kind of in that range or maybe even trade up or trade back that you would like for the Thunder?
Yeah. So I think if talking guards, I've heard Jared McCain mentioned in some spots. I don't know that I would necessarily be super interested in that. I like Jared McCain enough. I think he's 15th. Yeah, I think he was 15th or 16th on my last board. But I don't think that he necessarily provides enough of what you would want. Like, I think that obviously the shooting is nice. Not like the greatest defender, not somebody who you're super confident in making plays or getting to the rim or creating, you know, advantages in that way. So I don't know that I would necessarily look at him. I think more in a trade back situation, I guess he's kind of guard, kind of wing, Keyshawn George out of Miami, another kind of swing pick. I think that he's going to take a little bit of time. But I like what he brings to the table in terms of just being a bigger guy who shot it extremely well. Can shoot it in multiple ways off the dribble, you know, off the catch in a couple of different spots, and then is also able to defend several positions and also make plays, and he has a point guard background. I think that he's another guy who kind of fits the mold of the Thunder group overall, and I think obviously 12 is a little high to me for him, but if you are looking to trade back, I think that he's definitely a guy who would be more of in play in that range.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those drafts where it's one of those F it, he's our guy, let's draft him at 12 instead of at 15 or 18 or wherever, you know, he's
mocked. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing too. It's like you always want to like mention trading back as a possibility, but somebody has to be there to be your trade partner. You know, somebody else wants to move up to get somebody. And that's not always there. Or if it's the Thunder saying that they want to trade back, I'm not sure that teams are going to be like, hold on, should we do that? Should we, you know, get up there? Is there anybody good left? But yeah, that's I wouldn't be surprised if we saw somebody that's like consensus board ranked like 27th going 14th.
Yeah. I definitely see that.
Definitely kind of feel the same way. I did want to ask you about a certain player here. We got Paul Penman in the chat. Basically asking about Devin Carter out of Providence. How you feel about him? How do you feel about the Thunder possibly picking him up?
I think you have him mocked to 12, don't you?
Yeah, he was 12.
Okay, there you go.
So I think Devin Carter, I like him a lot. You know, I think that he would probably – I think he would fit fine on this Thunder team. Obviously what he brings to the table first is defense. You get mm-hmm. another defensive guard in there, somebody who is great on that end. I think he has all defense potential in a similar way to as I thought Cason Wallace. Now he's a little bit older, so I don't think that his upside is necessarily as high, but somebody who, you know, defends really well both on and off the ball, improved massively in multiple ways on offense, being able to shoot the three better, do it off of pull-ups. You know, he really carried that Providence team in a lot of ways this year. Improved as a playmaker as well. Long arms at 6'3", got about a 6'9 wingspan. I think that he would definitely be a potential candidate. Now, moving pieces around, you know, I guess it just depends on what you want to do with Cason Wallace, Lu Dort. I feel like they all mm-hmm. kind of match a similar, what they would play a similar role mm-hmm. on the team. And you don't necessarily have guys who are, I guess Cason, he was a good shooter this year, but he doesn't necessarily attract that level of gravity just yet. And you obviously Lu Dort can be all over the place at times. But that would be kind of the role that he would play. And if you are confident in his ability to, you know, make plays, shoot, score, a little bit more off the dribble, then I think that he could, you know, come in and contribute. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy I would be interested in for a lot of those late lottery teams.
Okay. Yeah. We had Corey Tolova of No Simmons on here. He's talking about Devin Carter. He's like, if you get Devin Carter, it's kind of like Cason Wallace and Devin Carter, the angel and the devil on your shoulders. Like, Cason's the angel, like the technical guy, the guy that doesn't do a lot of trash talk or anything like that. And Devin Carter's just like in your face, 100 miles an hour, just like absolute dog on defense, disruptive defender. So it would be a lot of fun if it happened. And, you know, as I said with, you know, drafting Cason Wallace last year, it gives you the flexibility to move off of, you know, a Lu Dort in the future. Or, you know, even if we're like go star hunting a Cason Wallace in the future, I don't want to trade Cason Wallace, but, you know, if you did that, it will give you the flexibility.
Yeah. I think the thing I like most about Devin Carter too, is you kind of know what he's going to do, at least defensively. Like, that's his NBA skill. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's some questions. The previous times in his college career, he didn't shoot it as well. He wasn't as dynamic as a scorer or anything of that nature. But I think as long as that piece is there, he's going to have a role in the NBA. And again, a Thunder team who is the one seed, I think he's going to be able to come in and contribute, you know, fairly early. And you've got guys like, if you have that trio of, no matter how long they play together, Cason, Devin Carter, Lu Dort, that's mm-hmm. and Chet on the back end, that's a recipe. That's, you never finish below top three defensively with those guys, and obviously having Shea, J-Dub, the other pieces in there as well too. So I think that would be definitely a possibility.
Yeah, hey, absolutely down with that. I do want to ask you about a certain player because he's been very high for some people that we've had on, and our last guest didn't actually even know who he was. So I'm curious if, A, you know who he is and what you think about him, but Pacome Dottier.
He's got him number 26 on his board.
Listen, man, I do no research. I want to react on the pod, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Pacome Dottier, you know, he's somebody – he's another one of those kind of upside swings in this class. There's mm-hmm. like there's a handful of them between Dottier, George – I would kind of put Cody Williams in that bucket as well, and Tijon Salon, maybe Johnny Furphy as well. But Dottier's ability to this year playing with Ohm in a solid league, able to be an off-ball threat as an athlete, cutter and mover without the ball, finishing plays, also improving a lot as a three-point shooter, knocking down shots. I think his overall pitch as a player is just kind of that 3-and-D wing who, you know, scores off the ball, is able to run out in transition, matches NBA level athletes, and eventually is able to hold his own on the wing defensively. I think he's a little bit of a work in progress there as well.
He's young,
but yeah, he's a guy who I think is going to probably go a little bit higher than some people might expect you know, I think there's going to be a team out there that just likes him and takes the swing pick of his upside. I don't know if that will end up being the Thunder, but I think that he's somebody who should definitely go in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it, you know, obviously you have him 26. A lot of people have him like late first round, but like whenever you're just thinking about possibilities in your head, it's like, would it be the craziest thing to just hear like Oklahoma City Thunder select Dondi at 12?
No, I wouldn't be. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. He's kind of in that big tier in the middle of the first round for me, where it's just like there's a lot of players who could go anywhere from 15 to, or at least consider from like 15 to 25. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he definitely in that mix.
Yeah, this definitely feels like a tiers draft, not necessarily a. Mm-hmm. You know, like a draft, you know, like draft by draft. It just seems like you have like 10 players in this tier. You have like 15 players in this tier. And then, you know, you go from there.
Yeah, because like I think the board exercise as a whole is just kind of flawed in some ways. Because mm-hmm. if you are the Thunder, you're approaching the draft in a completely different way than you are if you're the Sacramento Kings or if you are the Atlanta Hawks at number one. There's a lot of different – obviously – you want to pick the best players at the end of the day, and having that short-term lens is usually going to lead you in the wrong direction. But at the same time, you know, there's different approaches and being able to get prospects into situations that they're going to be successful in rather than just taking them because everybody says that they should be the third pick.
Yeah, for sure. And just to be clear, I wasn't like trying to set you up or anything with Pacoma Dadi. Like I was just saying, you know, our last guest didn't know, and it kind of shocked me. So I was like, maybe it's a possibility elsewhere.
I mean, yeah, no. So like the No Ceilings guys, like they were raving on Pacoma, and it's like we get to the nerd shit. Yeah, and Bryce Simon, and then we get to Nerd Sesh guys, and they're like, oh, we haven't really, you know, done too much research
international.
On it. Yeah, exactly. So it was just like, you know, sometimes those No Ceilings guy, they can get like a hive mentality and they talk about one guy and then the rest of them do research on it and just becomes they all know about him. And so it just with Pacoma, it was just like a let's see what the consensus is on this guy. Let's see what the average consensus is.
Yeah, I mean, for people who don't necessarily follow the draft all year round, like, you know, we do. I get it because nobody's going to watch a Ratio Farm home game. Like, there's no reason for an NBA fan to turn that on just randomly in other circumstances. But I do think he's going to end up in the first round. So they'll get their you know, information eventually.
They'll learn soon enough, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. A couple more questions and then kind of get into Spurs. We'll just start bench cut as we get to the end here. So finish this sentence, DeAndre. The Thunder trade up in this draft, and they are trading up for.
They are trading up for. That is tough. That is very tough. Last year, I feel like I would have had like a more obvious answer. It would have been like one of the Jarris, Taylor Hendricks, or somebody else. But, man. I honestly don't know. I'm gonna go with Donovan Clingan. And honestly, actually, no, I'm not, because they're not gonna do the chat board thing. I'm gonna go with Matis Bouzelis.
Okay.
I think that he's somebody who is at least projected right now to go more in that top 5-6-ish range. I think he could still go a little bit lower than that, but. If you're looking to trade up somebody like him who, if you're confident in shooting longer term, which I think that he's going to be able to at least be respectable, what he brings to the table as a, you know, help side rim protector, being able being a little bit of an underrated defender in a lot of ways, and able to, you know, make a shot, play off the ball, cut well. And move. I think that he has a lot of pieces that would fit into this group, and he's obviously 6'10", doesn't have a great wingspan, but at that size would add something that they don't necessarily have on the roster right now. And I think that he, if they were to make like a swing, it might be for somebody like him. But you could obviously say like a Stefan Castle or somebody like that too. But that would be somebody I'd be like, okay, they have their eyes on. They'd have to have one of those wing skill sets.
Let me ask you a question, because you know we kind of set up that question sometimes, and I know Dylan is hoping that you say Reed Shepard.
I am not. I'm just asking you a question.
Yeah, you are.
If I want to talk anyway, about Reed, I'll talk about Reed.
But anyways, so here's my thought on Reed. Like, I would love Reed Shepard for this team, because you know, as Dylan has mentioned before, and as is just like common knowledge, the more shooting you have on a team that has SGA and Dub and Chet on it, the more better it is for them. You know, it makes life easier if you have those release valves. And if those release valves are hitting, you know, 40, 45% of their threes, it makes it so much easier. And so a couple things with Reed Shepard. So number one, when you look at Reed Shepard, I look at and I don't know if I'm being a little bit too overboard on this, but I look at like a Steph Curry / Damian Lillard type archetype. I don't know if I'm completely off on that. No, because the thing with Steph Curry and Dame Lillard that you knew coming into the draft was that they can shoot. That is the one thing that you knew about them. You add into the part that, you know, you have a little bit of defensive chops when it comes to Shepard. You have a little bit of the playmaking component when it comes to Shepard. And so, you know, it's not like Steph Curry and Dame Lillard are out here just with 5+, 6+ inches of wingspan. No, they're a lot like Reed Shepard is. And so I'm wondering why that hasn't become a thing. Because when it comes to draft prospects, we all want to hyperbolize every draft prospect out there. Oh, what is their ceiling? Oh, their ceiling is this. And I just haven't heard that about Reed. Whenever I look at him and I look at his game and I'm like, this guy's shooting insane, like historic, you know, almost historic as far as like how he shot for the season. And when you think about that and you think about how the game is trending towards and what it looks like, shooting is going to be a major thing when it comes to, you know, the game, the future of this game. And so if you can get somebody out there that is shooting almost 50% in college, why is he not being given those type of superlatives when it comes to his game?
Yeah, I think the thing with Reed is, you know, just a lack of confidence in his ability to create shots. And that would be the biggest differentiator between a guy like him and Steph and Dame Lillard, because he just isn't necessarily that type of guy off the dribble and being mm-hmm. able to one, you know, get to the rim as consistently, and also just in his handle and being able to do certain things. Now, I don't think that's necessarily going to stop him from being an effective player in the league, and I think he's capable of a little bit more just based off of the role that he was playing this year. And once you get that understanding of knowing what he's going to need to do in the NBA, I think he's going to be able to run with it. But just being able to do certain things, create separation, I think there's a possibility he could become more of a off guard in a lot of ways. And then you have certain also concerns on the defensive end, not necessarily in his ability to make plays and understand what's going on out there, but more in his ability to guard at the point of attack and be offer a little bit more resistance in that way. So I think for the Thunder specifically, and just going back to the question, I would be a little surprised if they traded up for him, only because he just doesn't necessarily fit the profile of what they kind of like. But if they were to do that, I would 100% be bought. I'd be like, yeah, he's about to be, you know, a star, or at least in his role. But that would be the reason that I think that we're not necessarily as you know, fully bought in, or as, you know, hyperbolic with the possibilities of what he could potentially become in that same way as a Steph. You know, when you look at his numbers or the type of BPM that he put up this year, that was historic for freshmen. I think that's the primary reason, at least for myself and some other people.
I so would hate if he went to Houston. I would so hate that.
I don't want him to go to freaking San Antonio, man.
Oh, that too. But
I think, yeah, the funny thing is I think both of those spots Probably. Especially mm-hmm. Houston would be like really good for him, especially like mm-hmm. long term playing with someone like Amin Thompson, who can guard yeah. pretty much anybody out there, and you know, makes up for some of the things that he's not great at in terms of like getting to the rim as consistently. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's like there's a in OKC, he kind of gets pushed into being more of a compliment in a lot of ways that I would mm-hmm. be surprised, because you already got J-Dub, you got Shea, who's obviously an MVP candidate. I think J-Dub is going to go up a whole nother level next year as well. And obviously what Chet brings, you know, in the front court. Mm-hmm. So it would just be a little bit harder to like see him do that.
Yeah, and I could definitely see like Shepherd's agent probably telling the Thunder, hey, we don't want him to be Isaiah Joe. We want him to be more than that. And yeah. so please don't draft him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get everything you're saying, like, as a, like, not even archetype, but I guess body type. You know, he doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. fit the Thunder mold. Like, you know, he has a – I don't think he has a negative wingspan. I think he has an even wingspan, if I'm not mistaken.
It's just somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, we'll call it even, okay?
I think it's like 0.5 more.
Okay, let's go. Hey, that's positive. So, but, you know, he doesn't have, like, a super long wingspan. He's not – I mean – they say he's Steph Curry with a 42-inch vertical, but I'm not saying that. I just think, like, style of play, like, obviously the shooting, like, 100% the shooting, like, historic three-point shooter at the college level, looks translatable. But the thing that sticks out to me in how he's able to play the Thunder, he's willing to play off ball. He's willing mm-hmm. to play on ball. He has good processing skills. Good passing skills, kind of out of the pick and roll. A little bit raw, didn't get it, like, you know, kind of showcase that in the Kentucky system because, you know, he was surrounded by so many other guys that wanted, needed the ball is in their hands. And defensively, you know, I completely agree with you. Like, point of attack, like, it's going to be an issue. But like you were saying with pairing him with a guy like Amin, you know, if you paired him with, you know, Kaysom Wallace kind of coming off the bench, and Bryce Hyman actually brought this up whenever he was on the pod, you know, the same way that Lou Dort and Shea work together in the starting unit, where Dort's the point of attack guy, the physical guy, the guy that's going to, like, man up on your dude, and Shea's just, like, wreaking havoc in the passing lane. You know, I can see that happening kind of on the bench, case and being the point of attack guy, and Reed just kind of being, like, you know, free safety, just wreaking havoc and, you know, jumping passing lanes and contesting jump shots. Like, for his size, he's really good at contesting jump shots for a guard, and in the Maverick series, like, a big reason we lost that is because we didn't get good contests on those corner threes. So that's you know, Alex opened the door. So, you know, I'm walking in talking about my Kentucky guy. But that was kind of my stance.
Just one more thing on that. Like, I think mm-hmm. that he would work on the Thunder because, you know, all those things that you brought up, like, especially if you're just trading like 12 to 9 or something, like, it was, for some reason he fell that far, I wouldn't be as surprised. But just like given his sort of range. But like if he was to be on the Thunder, just like looking at him as an option on paper, I think, yeah, like he shooting his feel for the game, tremendous hands on defense, like the way that he's able to make plays, he was just unbelievably productive in the minutes that he played this year. I think he's gonna work wherever he ends up, but especially in a team that's as talented as the Thunder. But there's just certain things that next level, I think he'll have to just work on, or at least, you know, take certain steps forward.
For sure. I completely agree with you. Hey, let the record be shown. The Kentucky guy is not the one calling Reed Chef for the next Steph Curry. So that
wasn't me. He has that archetype. I'm just saying.
You heard here first. Let's clip it. No, I'm just kidding. All right, DeAndre, last question before we get into superlatives here. You know, we usually do this every year because we have multiple picks, but we just have one. So I'm asking you to use your imagination. Say it doesn't have to be pick 12. We could be trading up. We could be trading down. We could be trading back into it. But say the Thunder acquire two picks in this draft. What is a fun combination you would like to see the Thunder lead the draft with?
Okay. So I would say, let's go with Deron Holmes with one of the picks, for all the reasons that we mentioned before. And then the other pick, I was trying to decide if I wanted to go like deep into the second round or something. But let's go.
You do whatever you got to do.
Let's actually go with. I'm trying to think.
I like this. I like this because you're actually looking at our needs. You're looking at.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I wish I would have had some time to, you know, prepare and think about it. Because
I like putting people on the spot with it.
Yeah, I was, you know, because I almost picked Klingon earlier. I didn't want to do that. But let's go with Jalen Tyson. And we didn't talk about
it. Yes.
Jalen. So let's go Daron Holmes and Jalen Tyson. I like Jalen Tyson quite a bit as just another guy who's able to dribble, pass, shoot on the wing, you know, 6'6", 6'7", and is able to – at least in previous spots, he was a little bit better defensively than he showed this year. That team wasn't that great. So I think you go with somebody like Daron Holmes. Maybe it's at 12. Maybe it's trading back or, you know, in this imaginary scenario, getting somebody like Jalen Tyson somewhere in the 20s, an older player as well, just being able to come in and contribute, do multiple things. I think that would, if you're trying to build through the draft, that would be, you know, some of the skill sets that I would look to get, or you know, obviously trading up to get, you know, one of those, you know, Alex Saar or something. I could have said they trade up to the number one pick and get Saar or whatever. But yeah,
get the other Thunder brother, right?
Hey, yeah. let me ask you this question: if the Atlanta Hawks don't pick Saar number one, who do they pick?
I think when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think it's going to, based off of where it's trending, I think it's going to be clinging. Just for his rim protection, he's got something that I think is going to translate fairly easily, his size. You look at his advanced numbers and what he's done the last couple years. I think a lot of teams are going to see him as someone who could anchor a top seven defense. You need one of those guys. You look at every team in the playoffs has one of those guys in some capacity. You look at the success Derek Lively had early on in his rookie season. I think that he'd probably end up being the pick for them, just based off of where things are going.
Piggybacking off of that, what percentage do you put it at that Atlanta does like a trade down to like three? Because this has happened before in the NBA draft. Trade down to like, you know, the number one spot goes down to three and they pick up assets in the process.
I would say that there's like probably a 20% chance that happens. Obviously, no intel on that. Maybe like 15. Mm-hmm. 15 probably mm-hmm. sounds a little bit better. Because again, you have to have it. Probably have to be like a third team or something involved in that. But
I just feel like this is the type of draft that could happen.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Unless Houston just wanted to pair Sarr and Shingun or something. But yeah,
it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Darn you.
But yeah,
more, I think more nightmares. This usually happens to me like the week and a half leading up to the draft. I start seeing scenarios where like teams that I don't want to pick the players that like I really like, they start picking them, and I'm like, crap. You know, and so
yeah.
You know, freaking Brooklyn, you know, they messed it all up for us, man. They rose up and no restrictions on that pick, and Houston got it.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to watch the next, you know, couple years, like what happens mm-hmm. with like San Antonio and owning Atlanta's picks and all that too.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this before we get into superlatives. This is a question that I've asked everybody except for the guys at Nerd Sesh. I forgot to last time, and I was kicking myself as soon as I realized it. But who is somebody kind of maybe late first, late second, that is kind of being mocked in that range or valued in that range that you have higher than consensus?
I would say probably Jalen Tyson before. But for another, just for the sake of the question, we'll go with who else is higher? Ryan Dunn, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
I still buy his defense
mm-hmm.
and his ability to like find a niche offensively as like a play finisher and athlete. I don't know where the shot's gonna go. I don't think that it's anywhere near being close to even having the respectable conversation. But mm-hmm. you know, the possibility is always there for him to make that happen. And if he does, he's somebody I think is a top three defender in this class. And someone that has like all defense or, you know, top tier wing forward stopper potential. So he's somebody I still would consider into like the early 20s.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. What would you think that niche offensive skill is that you can kind of lean into like a slashing, like, you know, really good backdoor cut guy or what?
Yeah, I think it'd be like situational. Like if you put mm-hmm. him in a situation like playing off of someone like Jokic or Shingun and having, you know, other shooters in a lineup and being able to screen, cut, you know, do things and be more of an off-ball threat. I think he does that stuff, you know, fairly well. And mm-hmm. the one thing about him I wish that he did a little bit better was just as a passer and decision maker. If he did that stuff, I think it would be a no-brainer that he would be able to find a role, even with the shot being in offense overall being where it's at. But I think that type of stuff, he could – the possibility that it happens is a lot more likely than him becoming a 35% shooter just overnight.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I feel you. All right, man. Well, we are going to transition into superlative star bench cut if we get time right after a word from our sponsors. And we're back after a word from our sponsors. We got Keandre Ashley of Hoop Intellect here talking NBA draft. We've talked the options that the Thunder can make it 12, above 12, and below 12. And now we're going to get into our superlative. So, Keandre, we have asked all of our guests these questions, you know, for like the superlatives of the draft class. We're accumulating them, and we're going to award a very arbitrary award to the winner at the end of our draft coverage. So you get to contribute to that now. So here we go. Best athlete in the draft class.
Let's go with Ron Holland.
All right, Ron Holland. That puts him at the leader. We've got, let's see here, 6 Ron Holland votes right now. So shout out, Ron.
You did wax poetic about him, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that people can agree on, it's at least the athleticism.
Absolutely. All right, best shooter in the draft class.
I'm going Reed Shepard. Thank you.
I was already typing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one is.
If it's not Reed, yeah, if it's not Reed, who else?
If it's not Reed, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say. So Paige Otto of No Ceilings put Dalton Connect, and Metcalf put Antonio Reeves.
Hmm. Okay. If it's not Reed, I would say. I would say maybe like Baylor Shireman.
He's from Creighton.
Yeah, he hasn't shot it as high percentage wise, but the confidence, the volume, it's all been there his entire career. Or, you know, kind of a sleeper pick, Rob Dillingham, just because of what he's able to do off the dribble and some of that you know, versatility, and him reaching his ultimate ceiling is going to be sort of dictated on him shooting that well.
Shooting the rock,
for sure. All right, best passer in the draft class.
Best passer. That's a tough one too. I think I'm gonna go with Tyler Kolek out of Marquette.
Okay.
It's really close for me between him, Nikola Topic, and Isaiah Collier. I think the other two guys have a better chance of like being more impactful players in the league, but just pure being able to make reads and pass it. Mm-hmm. I would go with Kolek. Juan Nunez is another guy who'd be in that mix too.
Heard about him?
Yeah, pretty much. And so you broke up the consensus for passer. Topic was running away with it, but everybody had said honorable mention Juan Nunez. So yeah. You brought them both up. I like it though. I like the Kolek pick. All right, this one has different answers all around. Best finisher in the draft class.
Best finisher. That is a tough question because we can play percentages or who I think is going to be the best finisher.
And it's subjective. We got guards, we got bigs. That's what we think.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You know, I'm going to go with Nikola Topic. Okay. I think his touch around the rim and his just sheer volume, being able to get to the bucket, was pretty impressive this year. So I put him in that mix. The other guys would be like Cody Williams. I know that's probably a popular pick because he shot like 74% at the rim this year. I have just, you know, some concerns just physically if he doesn't get to like 200, 210 in the future. But if he does, I think he's pretty obviously going to be the guy. So it would be one of those two, probably.
Okay, that's fair.
Let's just draft him and get the guys that can't gain weight.
All right, deepest bag in the draft class.
Rob Dillingham, hands down.
He's running away with that one, right?
He is. We have one vote for Bub Carrington, and a couple people have said Bub Carrington is honorable mention, so.
Yeah, I'm going Rob.
Absolutely. I whenever I asked you guys this question last year, I was like, next year it'll be Rob Dillingham. So it was pretty obvious. All right. Largest bag in the draft class. This is most money made in NBA career. And this was made by our co-host and producer Matt Tierney.
Most money made in career. I think I kind of gotta go with Alex Saar, right? If he's my number one. Yeah, so I think that's probably just how I would look at it. Unless we want to go like a longevity game, like a Reed Shepherd is just going to play, you know, 17 years or something. But I'm going to go Saar.
All right, I'm with it. I was getting excited. I was going to be able to put Reed Shepherd on there. All right, best perimeter defender in the draft class.
Best perimeter defender in the draft class. That one's tough too. There's some good options. I'm gonna go with Devin Carter. But Ryan Dunn, Stephon Castle, and maybe even Isaiah Crawford would be in that sort of mix for me.
Isaiah Crawford's a name I've been seeing a lot recently. Is he picking up steam?
Starting to creep up, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be one of those players that obviously, like, I know some people on draft Twitter like love, you know, even more than I do. I think he's a solid second round pick, especially having the injury history that he does. But his defense is real, being able to make plays and on and off the ball and knock down shots, make a play in a couple ways offensively as well. He's somebody I think is going to be have a chance as long as the medicals check out to make an impact somewhere.
Yeah, I like it. All right, best interior defender.
Interior defender, Donovan Klingon. I'm going to go with Donovan Klingon.
Klingon, high level rim
protector. Alex Saar is close there too.
Yep, I've got a. It's mainly Donovan Klingon. Got a couple Alex Saars. Even got an Yves Messi.
I like that one.
I'll see here. Highest IQ in the draft class.
Highest IQ. That feels like a that feels like a Reed Sheppard type of answer. I think I'll go with Reed Sheppard.
Yeah. All right, I like it. All right, differentiating from highest IQ, highest feel in the draft class.
Highest feel. I think Reed Sheppard and would be a solid answer for that too.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why isn't this man number one on your board?
You could watch the video.
Yeah.
And see,
there you go. Free plug, man. Free plug. Yeah. All right. Biggest dog.
Just in the draft greater class. Explanation. Dog. You said dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this sound like more. Another Devin Carter answer here.
Yeah. The way you were talking about him, I was like, he's got that dog in him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. But I would actually say Ron Holland as a number two for me, at least. Okay. I think that he has that same sort of it factor.
I like it. Yeah, Devin Carter's kind of the runaway here. We got a couple for Tyler Collect, actually.
Yeah, I like that too.
All right, last two. Highest floor in the draft class.
Highest floor. I'm going to go with.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I guess there's a couple directions we could go. I think that there's a chance that a lot of these guys don't necessarily pan out in the way that we like. There's like when I look at this board, I see a lot of players who could, you know, underwhelm in certain ways. But I'm going to go with Donovan Clingan. I think that he has the stats. I think he has the size to do what he did at UConn in the NBA. And so I would probably go with him.
Yep. And on the flip side, highest ceiling.
High ceiling, I'm going Alex Saar.
All right. Yeah, he is definitely the leader. We've had a few options on highest floor, but yeah, Alex Saar is kind of the runaway on the highest ceiling.
Who else was for highest floor?
Oh, let's see here. We got Steph Castle. We got Tristan Da Silva. We got Reed. We got Connect. And we even got one for Modest Buzelis.
Okay.
Kind of all over the place. All right, man. If you want to, we can rifle through Star Bench Cut, or if you need to call it quits, we can call it a night.
Yeah, we can do Star Bench Cut. I'm down.
Awesome. Right. I love to see the guests sweat a little bit when it comes to this one.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna edit, like, you know, we kind of have some pre-saves for this, but I'm gonna kind of edit it based on what we talked about. So I'm gonna say Deron Holmes, Khalil Ware, and Zach Edey.
Deron Holmes, Khalil Ware, and Zach Edey. That's a tough one. I think I'm gonna start where I'll bench Deron Holmes and have to cut Zach Edey. And that's where they are on my board. But yeah, just in a vacuum, I think, you know, that's how I would see it.
Okay. I'm with it. All right, this one is Dalton Connect, Tristan Da Silva, and Zachary Risacher.
That's an interesting one. I mean, I guess if I'm just going to play like that, I'll have to start Risacher, bench Connect, and who was the third person you said?
Tristan Da Silva.
Tristan Da Silva, you know, I have to cut him.
Yeah, I got one.
Go ahead.
So start bench cut, Devin Carter, Jared McCain, and Bub Carrington.
Oh, that's a really good one. Devin Carter, Jared McCain, Bub Carrington. I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna start Bub Carrington just off of his upside. I'm gonna bench Devin Carter and then have to cut Jared McCain.
My man.
All right.
I like
Bub
that.
Club's thriving. All right, let's go with your prospects here. Let's go Cody Williams, Kashawn George, and Pacome Dottier.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna go dang, that is tough. That is tough. I think I'm gonna start Cody Williams. I think I might bench Dottier and then have to cut Keyshawn George. But that's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
Kind of betting on the upside for Dottier on that one.
Yeah, I think I have a little more confidence. I think maybe it's just because I've seen Cody Williams' background a little bit more, but in him. But I think those three guys are actually a little bit closer than their rankings on the board by consensus would be.
Okay. I like
okay. Let me do one. So just kind of on the archetype of type of player that the Thunder may be looking for. So Tristan Da Silva, Tyler Smith, and Johnny Furphy.
Tristan Da Silva, Tyler Smith, Johnny Furphy. I'm going to
just 6'8", 6'9", guys that can shoot.
Yeah. I'm gonna start Tyler Smith, bench Tristan Da Silva, and cut Johnny Furphy. Okay. But again, that's another tough one. Strictly upside, I think honestly, Furphy has an argument for that. Yeah. But
Silva's much older.
Yeah.
All right, here's one. Let's go Starbench Cut. Kyle Filipowski, Tijon Salon, and Jonathan Mobo.
Ooh.
Filipowski, Tijon Salon, Jonathan Mobo. I think I'll probably just leave it in that order, honestly. But I love Mogbo. Actually, you know, like just for the sake of it, we'll cut Salon and we'll bench Mogbo. Start Filipowski.
Mogbo moving up in the world. I like it. let's see here. Steph Castle, Reed Shepherd, Rob Dillingham.
Yeesh.
Steph Castle, Reed Shepherd, Rob Dillingham. This is a good one right here. I'm gonna, because this is kind of something that I've just thought about a lot at the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. Because obviously there's a big distinction or difference in what the Kentucky guards bring to the table in comparison to what Castle does. But I'm gonna start Rob Dillingham. I'm gonna bench Reed Shepherd and cut Steph Castle. I like Dillingham's ability to create. I think that he's the best creation bet in the class. So that carries that. Love Reed Shepherd, what he brings to the table. And then Castle, I just have a little more, you know, hesitancy than some other guys in his offensive game. But I love the defense size. I think that he, in a perfect scenario, he's somebody who is obviously high impact and should be valued fairly high.
We'll see here. This one will be for Tierney. This is kind of veteran wings late in the draft years. We got Kevin McCullough, Dylan Jones, Harrison Ingram.
Kevin McCullough, Dylan Jones, Harrison Ingram.
Why didn't you present it how it normally is?
Because I got tired of Tierney getting dumped on.
I think we'll go Kevin McCullough. We'll stay in that same order there too. McCullough, Dylan Jones, and then cut Harrison Ingram.
Okay.
He still got dumped on.
he did more so because Harrison Ingram usually starts.
So Tierney is a North Carolina fan, so.
Yeah, and he had Harrison Ingram, Bronny James, and Caleb Love. And every time I asked the guest, they're just like, why? I did not expect to hear Caleb Love in this.
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
Let's see.
With that said, where do you think Bronny James goes?
I think he's going to LA.
Second round.
Yeah, if he goes 17th, that would be the highlight of the night, or the shock of the night at least.
Yeah.
But I think that he's going to end up in LA at 55, or I think that's what they have.
Okay.
All right. This is just super high upside wings here. So we're going to go Trenton Flowers, AJ Johnson, Justin Edwards.
Ooh. I like this one. We'll start AJ Johnson, bench Justin Edwards, and cut Trenton Flowers. Yeah, I think that's where I'll go with that.
Okay.
I like it. Real quick, what's your opinion on the 2-day drafting?
I think it's you know, obviously I'm gonna be tuned in, so I'm mm-hmm. not like they know I'm gonna be watching. But just in general, I think that there's obviously an advantage or a benefit to have an extra day to make decisions and trades and be able to have that in a front off from a front office perspective. But from a viewership, like there's just no reason to move it to a second day. Especially with like the green room invites, like the way it's going right now, they're going to invite way too many people and they're going to be waiting mm-hmm. an entire day and have to go to a whole nother location.
You're going
to
be spending the night.
Yeah. To get drafted the next day. So, I'm not a fan of it, but I guess I understand the perspective that they're coming from. But I don't know. I guess I'm just going to, you know, put out two recap videos this year. I don't know. They're probably going to be good anyways.
Hey, it's another day of advertisements that they can sell. So
yeah. Great for content.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Last one I got here. This is high upside guards. Second round. AJ Mitchell, Cam Christie, Bronny James.
That's an interesting one too. I like Cam Christie's game a lot. But I think I'm going to go with AJ Mitchell, Cam Christie, and then have to cut Bronny. But you know, I think that Bronny's a potential NBA player, and I think that's kind of up in the air for a lot of people.
I feel that as well. Let me put this back on you again. AJ Johnson, Trent Flowers, and Bobby Klempman. All the NBL guys.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a lot about Klempman this year.
Yeah. He's been surprisingly like quiet on everything, despite still being like in the 20s on ESPN's mock, which has been kind of weird to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go Bobby. I'm going to start Bobby, bench AJ, and then cut Trent Flowers.
You're Bobby believer, huh?
Yeah, I think that he's got tools to contribute at least a little bit easier than those other two guys.
Yeah, for sure. Last thing I want to ask you real quick, man. You know, because I'm on Tankathon, like trying to pull names here. obviously, the news came out with Terrence Shannon Jr. yesterday. You know, he was a very productive player in college. How do you feel, you know, the news that dropped yesterday kind of affects his draft standing? And do you – I think Wasserman said that he could end up being in the lottery. Like, do you agree with that? Or, like, what do you think?
I don't see lottery. I don't think that he'll go that high for simply on-court reasons. Like, if we just
– Yeah.
You know – blocked everything else out, or he just had a normal season. But I do think that he's a potential top 20 pick. I think he's somebody who, or at least top 25, somebody who can, obviously he's older, but the way that he's able to act as a slasher, be able to get to the bucket, really good athlete, probably in the top five of athletes in this class, the improvements he's made as a shooter, especially during his time at Illinois, and then what he can bring defensively in certain ways. I think that he has the pieces to be a contributor. So that's kind of the range that I would see. And then obviously that was the big thing that everybody was waiting for. I had kind of just preliminary left him off the board until, you know, we just got a conclusion on that. So he'll probably be somewhere in that general range for me.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Yeah, because him and Dillingham, they both hadn't like tested at the combine or anything like that point, right?
Did Terrence Shannon test? I don't know if he did. I know Dillingham didn't, but I didn't see.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there at the end. It was just like I said, I was staring at names and I saw it. I was like, I mean, he's the first guest that I get to talk to him about. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, scoring wise, like he was an absolute bucket. Like I was putting him in parlays and during the tournament, like he was killing it. So, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But Keandre, man, I mean, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Always a pleasure having you on here. And like I said, you were at the conception of our draft coverage. So it's awesome to bring you on every year. See your channel grow as well as, you know, like your talent as an evaluator. So obviously, it's awesome having you on here. So I want to go ahead and give you the floor to plug anything you want to plug, what you might be working on, where folks can find your stuff.
Yeah, so obviously you can find me on YouTube at Hoop Intellect. Lots of stuff dropping all year round, but especially this time. And then I'm on Twitter, Hoop Intellect, should be posting, you know, different stuff during the draft, tweet the finals, all that kind of good stuff on Instagram as well. So just same draft stuff, you know, coming in the near future. So that's really what to look out for.
What was your predictions for the finals?
I had Celtics in five, you know, believe it or not. Nice.
I mean, you are a draft evaluator, so.
Yeah, I just think that they have too much, and the Mavs were talented enough to get a game. Obviously, they put me to sleep today with their beating them, but yeah, I think the Celtics just have a lot.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that they'll definitely bounce back after, you know, Charles Barkley said that the way they approached game four was unprofessional going back to Boston. I definitely think they're going to try to put that one to an end. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, like you said, guys, definitely follow him on Instagram at HoopIntellect, on Twitter at HoopIntellect with three L's, because the guy with the two L's, you know, didn't want to surrender that app, but you know, we'll follow him either way. And subscribe to his channel if you are not already. As I said, he is nearing 52,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is just absolutely insane. Huge accomplishment. And you know, obviously I'm sure you're proud of it. But yeah, man, just thank you for coming on once again. And you know, look forward to talking to you again next year for the draft.
If not sooner,
for sure.
Yeah, if not sooner. I mean, we might even have you on post-draft after, you know, we bring in Reed Shepard, and we could talk to you about how he's going to be the next Steph Curry.
Thank you. Visionary, baby. Visionary.
Now the name tag makes sense. So, all right, guys. Appreciate you guys for listening. Those in the chat, you know, coming in loyal, faithful, and active, as you always are. Awesome. Go ahead and like the video if you are in here right now. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we go live. We still have a couple weeks until the draft happens. We've got a few more guests lined up. I've talked about them before. My phone's dead. I can't tell you who's coming up next, but we will be back on Tuesday with said guest. We'll be back again Friday with another guest. And the weekend before the draft, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're going to have a lot of content coming out. So you want to be tapped in on the Top of Thunder podcast, audio, YouTube, be there, be square. With that being said, hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hooping you can. And as always, Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Yeah, there we go. You didn't say it last year, I don't think.
It's growth.
I get it.
Awesome. We like it.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Top of Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.